The dust table reveals some telling information. Dust is real, and the threshold is lower than I imagined. As transaction fees continue to rise, larger value UTXOs become more at risk. During the peak transaction fee times over the past month, our example transaction would be dust even for 0.001 Bitcoin. That's a little less than $50 at current market conditions. This feels incredible. 100,000 sats suddenly turned into dust. Gone. Unusable. This is terrifying. The best in Bitcoin made audible. I am Guy Swan, and this is Bitcoin Audible. What is up, guys? Welcome back to Bitcoin Audible. I am Guy Swan, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know. This show is brought to you by Swan, the place to buy Bitcoin and to set up your personal and financial life on the Bitcoin standard. And of course, CoinKite and the Cold Card hardware wallet, where you would keep that Bitcoin safe because you're not a little bitch. You hold your own keys, you're a real Bitcoiner, and you do it with the Cold Card like a big boy. Check them out. Links and details will be right there in the show notes, as well as a discount for the hardware buyers. So welcome back to Bitcoin Audible. Hope you guys have been doing good. We have got it's a bit of a technical read, but I felt like the topic was important enough, and for the things that you can't see the tables and stuff in this article, which a lot of it's just kind of like trying to give you a picture, and we'll get a little bit deeper into this in the commentary after, so I can kind of explain a couple of different things. And there's only one thing that I want to preface to understand before this, because he refers to everything as UTXO, and I know a lot of you probably know what that is, but just in case, because we always have new people to the show, you can literally just think of a UTXO as your previous transaction. Because every time Bitcoin is spent, you don't have like an account. You just have multiple transactions that you can unlock. So like if I send you one Bitcoin and Bob sends you one Bitcoin and Charlie sends you one Bitcoin and you want to spend 3 Bitcoin, you don't spend 3 out of your account. You spend 3 by referencing the one that Bob gave you, the one that I gave you, and the one that Charlie gave you, which means you have to stick all of that into a transaction. Each one of those is a UTXO. But it's basically an address with a balance when you're looking at it in like a wallet or something. So when he says UTXO in the article, think of it as this is a previous transaction that you need in order to spend the Bitcoin in it. And this is specifically why that if you DCA, if you automatically buy and withdraw like I do, that when you have low fees like we do today in particular, which I don't know when this actually comes out, if that will be the case. But if we have low fees and when we have low fees, it is good to take all of those, every single one of those individual, like if I did $10 every single day for 10 days and then I want to spend $100, I have to reference 10 previous transactions. So it's a lot of data to stick into a transaction, and then that means it's going to cost a high fee. So it's important to be active about that. And that's what this whole episode is about, so that we can kind of get an understanding of that. But I just wanted to preface that with what is a UTXO, because it's used throughout this article. And it's a short article, and then we will dig right into the commentary and I'll expand on what this all means and why it matters. So that should set us up, and let's go ahead and get into today's read, and we will follow it up with a guy's take. And it's titled, To Dust You Shall Return, by Joe Rogers. An analysis of different fee rates and the consequences this has on the economics of spending UTXOs of different values. Consider a doomsday scenario. You spend the past couple of years diligently dollar-cost averaging and withdrawing to your wallet. You have a ton of small UTXOs, and Bitcoin transaction fees rise so much that your Bitcoin turns into dust. you're now unable to spend your Bitcoin. For some Bitcoin users, this is not a doomsday scenario. This is a reality that they experienced over the past 6 months. During 2023, we saw very big fluctuations in Bitcoin transaction fees as Ordinals brought a flood of new Bitcoin users, and with that, significant increase in block space demand. Despite the positive press from the Bitcoin Spot ETF approval, users have faced serious challenges from high transaction fees, especially for users who have small UTXOs. In some cases, UTXOs were unspendable, also known as turned into dust. This transaction fee pain led many people to ask the question, how can I know if my UTXOs are at risk? For this article, we will explore the point at which dust is created and try to help lay out a minimum plan to mitigate this risk. Bitcoin median transaction fees in sat per VByte in the past 6 months. Over the past 6 months, we have seen wild swings in Bitcoin median transaction fees. We saw mempools clear with zero sat per VByte and soar higher than 350 sats per VByte. While that might not mean much to you at face value, it can mean big challenges for users who are sending multiple small-value SegWit UTXOs in single transactions. In fact, some users saw their UTXOs turn into dust. This obviously caused panic, and for some, this caused an expensive lesson in UTXO management. This is not an article that explains UTXO management strategy. This article attempts to tell you that you absolutely want big UTXOs. If Bitcoin does what we think it is going to do, then multiple UTXO transactions as small as 0.001 BTC could be unspendable under high-fee environments, and you can kiss your dust goodbye. Before we jump into the data, we need to define what we want to look at. For us, we are trying to understand if a UTXO is spendable or if it is dust, non-spendable. For this, we will need the following. The sum of the UTXOs being spent, the total weight in units, and the transaction fee in sats per VByte. With this information, we can make a formula that shows how much value is transferred in a Bitcoin transaction after you remove the transaction fees. The transferred value equals Bitcoin sent minus, in parenthesis, the total weight units divided by 4 times the transaction fee in sats per VByte times 0.0000001, or the conversion from Bitcoin to sats. If the transferred value is a negative number, this means you have dust. The UTXO sum costs more to send than it is worth. Because calculating Bitcoin transaction weight units is a bit complex, we will use a realistic scenario for use in building our table, assumptions, and recommendations. For this example, we are using 5 basic SegWit or P2WPKH financial transactions with the following weight units: single input, single output, single signature, single pub key, SegWit transaction, or P2WPKH script, total weight units would be approximately 440 weight units. 5 inputs, single output, single signature, single pub key SegWit transaction, P2WPKH script, total weight units would be approximately 1,528 weight units. Using our formula above and the SegWit transaction with 5 inputs weighing 1,528 weight units, we built the following dust table. The link to the article will be in the show notes if you want to look at the table just to get an idea of where the relevant Bitcoin amount in the single UTXO and the fee rate essentially make it uneconomical to spend. The dust table reveals some telling information. Dust is real, and the threshold is lower than I imagined. As transaction fees continue to rise, larger value UTXOs become more at risk. During the peak transaction fee times over the past month, our example transaction would have been dust even for 0.001 Bitcoin, or 100,000 sats. That's a little less than $50 at current market conditions. This feels incredible. 100,000 sats suddenly turned into dust, gone, unusable. This is terrifying. While this example scenario does not affect all users, the lesson is very clear. Make big UTXOs. For long-term storage, you must not keep UTXOs smaller than 0.01 BTC. We saw 300-plus sat per VByte fees last year, and that will increasingly become the norm. In that fee market, multi-UTXO transactions smaller than 0.001 are dust. Don't be that guy. Dust may be an afterthought for you today. We are blessed with returns to sub-50 sat per VByte fees, but dust could become a costly problem for you in the future if not managed today. By understanding the relationship between UTXO weight units and transaction fees, we gain valuable insights into the lower bound sizes for UTXOs. Dust extremes. Modeling out the dust threshold for UTXOs is an interesting experiment because it shows you how crazy things have to get and at what point BTC becomes dust. For the table below, we are using the same data as outlined above. That is a 5-input SegWit transaction with 1,528 weight units. This table illustrates the fee rate at which a BTC amount being sent at a 1,528 weight unit transaction will turn into dust. You can check out the table for this one as well at the link provided in the description. Signing a UTXO. Another key finding in all this research is the cost of signing a single standard P2PKH UTXO. This is an extreme on the small side because it is one of the smallest transactions you can make. For this example, we want to use the standard script, non-SegWit, because it is the heaviest of the script types. Here are the specifics. Standard P2PKH script type with one input, one pub key, zero outputs, and 632 weight units. And then the table provided shows you how much it would cost to confirm the signature data of this transaction for a table of various fee rates that are up to 500 sats per VByte. With this information, you can understand the minimum cost of making Bitcoin transactions. Key takeaways. 1. The dust threshold is lower than you think, especially in high transaction fee markets. 2. When withdrawing BTC from exchanges, consider waiting until your balance is greater than about 0.01 Bitcoin or 1 million sats before sending to your storage. 3. If you have many small, less than 0.001 BTC UTXOs, so 100,000 sats in a single address, you must consolidate them into larger UTXOs while fees are low. You don't have a crystal ball, and there are only so many things in your control. The Bitcoin price, block space demand, hash price, hash rate, and Bitcoin in general are out of your control. You have control over your keys, and the best thing you can do is be prepared for the inevitable high fee market. It will happen, or Bitcoin will fail. I don't make the rules. Do not let your precious Bitcoin turn into dust. Remember this, if you do nothing, then to dust you shall return. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. If you have been stacking regularly on Swan with an automatic savings plan, like I have advised for a very long time, you would be sitting very, very pretty right now. And the worst thing you can do, in my opinion, is try to time the market. Because when Bitcoin decides to do something, it just does it. And I promise you, the time in the market is way, way more important than what time you get in the market. This is why not only do I do this, but I've always pushed the regular payments, the automatic savings plan with Swan and the automatic withdrawals that get it to your keys. But never forget about this. A great reason why I brought up this episode today or this read is do not forget to consolidate, and the fees are low right now. Perfect opportunity to do so if you've been auto stacking. But if you're going straight, if you're sending those Bitcoin straight to a Swan vault, or you're trying to get it set up with an IRA so that you can get it tax-free, you can do that right in Swan. It takes just a few minutes to get it set up. Swan.com literally has a financial suite of services. Like they have business stuff. They have like a Swan Private for high net worth clients. They have the IRA. They have the automatic savings plan. They now have a substantial mining operation. And as I've always said, they have a phenomenal set of resources, things to learn with all of the resources and collections on tons of various topics in the Bitcoin canon, which you can just find at swan.com/canon. So if you're looking to learn, I highly encourage you to check it out. And as always, the link will be right in the show notes. All right, so just to go over the general idea in short, for anybody who is having a hard time following the article or, you know, following kind of the more specifics and the numbers and that sort of stuff, I know that stuff doesn't come across in audio very well, is to simply put, to just simply think about the fact that every single time you have to reference a previous transaction in order to spend some Bitcoin, that means there is a certain amount of data that you have to get confirmed on Bitcoin. And the more transactions there are going into what is your wallet balance, the more that you have to reference in order to get it out. So a perfect example is for everybody who's been stacking with Swan or any of the other exchanges. There's a number of them now, like Fold even does it, where you can automatically purchase. But I've been doing it with Swan for a long time. But I have set a threshold, even though I buy a smaller amount, I set a threshold for withdrawing at a much larger amount. Specifically, part of that is UTXO management. So when I'm buying $100 every single week and setting it to automatically withdraw, I wait for it to be not a dollar amount, but it's a million Satoshis before it withdraws. And honestly, that is a pretty good measure, I think, to keep it that way, specifically because there will always be fee fluctuations and there will be some degree of kind of sats per byte, per virtual byte floor. Like right now, as I'm reading this or talking about this, the mempool, the current block or the expected block right now is about 25 to 28 sats per byte or virtual byte, but I'm not going to say that every single time. I'm just going to say sats per byte because it's easier. So kind of a standard transaction from a standard wallet today, one input, two output, is probably going to be around $2 or so. So think about it. If you're dollar cost averaging and having it withdraw to you every single time you buy $10, you're going to pay 20 to 30% of the value of all of your Bitcoin just to move it. Because every one of those $10 purchases, I mean, there's some degree of compression and things. It doesn't scale linearly where every single input you add, it doesn't add an entire new transaction, but it's most of it. So if you're moving $100, it may very well cost you a $25 fee. So that can run away from you really, really fast. You know, if we got up to 300 and some odd sats per V-byte, where like normal transactions were $25, $30 fees. And that was really what was clobbering people who were trying to get stuff sent or was trying to consolidate UTXOs then. Because, you know, you think about the example that Joe specifically gave as reference to the first table that showed that even 100,000 sats, when you're talking about 300 sats per V-byte, 400 or 500, even that essentially becomes dust. It just becomes too expensive to move that amount of money. And that's specifically because of the DCA type scenario where if you have a bunch of different inputs, which in this example, he gave five inputs to one output. So imagine if you did a DCA like every single month after 5 months, this is the sort of transaction that you would be sending in to move all of your Bitcoin from whatever cold storage or whatever it was to some new location. And if you had 300 sats per V-byte and each one of those transactions was for 100,000 sats, the transaction would essentially cost you the amount of sats that you had to even brought to pay for the fee for the transaction. Now, there is one kind of interesting pushback against this, is the increase in the value of Bitcoin. Is, you know, about a year ago, year and some change ago, a $10 transaction on the base layer, $10 worth of sats, was like 60 to 70,000 sats. Whereas today, that is like $30 to $35 worth of purchasing power. So the same sats fee rate today is much lower in the number of sats than it was, than it would be, when it would have been then, in the context of its dollar amount. In other words, if it took $2 to send a transaction, that was a much higher sats fee rate then than it was today. And it's likely that for a long time, the quote-unquote expensive fee rate will be specifically expensive in the context of dollar purchasing value. But the pushback is not very hard. It's not really much of a counter to it. It's kind of like, you know, you have a football game and then the which way the wind is blowing might matter. But if one team is clearly winning or clearly better, the wind isn't going to make a ton of difference. Because at the end of the day, lower value UTXOs, more and more Bitcoin amounts on the base layer are going to become dust. Like, this is an inevitable path for Bitcoin, and there is really not anything that we can do about it at the base layer. The only thing to be done is fork it into a completely different project and give up on the base verification or validation and just like having the entire ecosystem run in pruned mode where only nobody, everybody only has the tip and you don't have like kind of a foundational, basically give up on Bitcoin being perfectly verifiable by essentially anyone, and an enormous, enormous thing that makes it secure in the first place, which is why its block space is worth something. But really, that's just a weak way of saying that it's an existential problem to attempt to fix it from the context of block space in any measurable or significant amount at all, regardless of the fact that you would have to fork. Because the block space, you won't have that many fees, purely because if everybody's only validating the last 3 weeks worth of activity and its history isn't being stored or verified, but by just a handful of people, then the block space isn't worth anything. The reason the block space at the tip of the chain is so valuable is because of the enormity of the number of people and the number of nodes and the distribution of all of the computers that are validating this thing from the beginning to today, to the very tip. And how quickly and easily as many as we can possibly need can come online and do that all over again. Every single time a new node is added to the network, the entirety of the Bitcoin system from day one, from block zero to today, is verified, confirmed, cryptographically, a proof of work, chain, all of it. That is what makes block space so damn valuable, and the reason people hash like hell in order to continue to add things to that block space and get paid for the stuff that the block space makes, which is new Bitcoin. So basically, I see no way. The security model has to be built on fees in the long run. It simply will be, because that's how Bitcoin is designed. And as Satoshi said, basically once you put out the first client, its system or the way it works is set in stone. Small value addresses and balances of Bitcoin will become dust. It's already happened through multiple eras, and it seems like now, really kind of the $1-ish fees, the 10 sats to 15 sats per V-byte, are basically the lowest we get anymore. Like, I honestly do hardly any on-chain transactions anymore that are less than $300. Like 500,000 sats is probably the least. And in fact, there's a couple of things that I need to do to actually consolidate those, because I am probably gaining a decent number of like kind of 500,000 sat batches now with like auto payouts and that sort of thing. And the more payments that I have coming in, this is why something like one of those fundraisers or whatever, that you, if you're not using Lightning is a amazing way to aggregate small payments. And there have been many times in the past where even much lower fee rates have caused a problem with some of the fundraising and like kind of crowdfunding sort of tools in Bitcoin, or where somebody just puts up an address, which used to be very common, where somebody would just put up an address and say, accepting donations or whatever. And people would send $1, $2, you know, 20 cent sort of stuff in just amounts of sats. And then to try to move it would just be such a huge transaction, because in the just the nature of that sort of environment, we're talking about tons and tons of very small transactions. And a reference to every single one of them to spend them has to go into the block space. Like I mentioned at the beginning of this, a UTXO it's like a transaction receipt where you don't actually have an account. You just have let's say a check. A check might be an easier way to visualize it for everybody who's over the age of 30 and has actually written one of these. Your check has the amount, the signature, everything that supposedly verifies it and all this stuff. And you go deposit it into your bank account and then they update your account balance. Well, imagine your wallet as just a piece of software that just takes all of the checks that you have received and just adds them together to give you a balance, but it doesn't actually change anything on chain. Bitcoin doesn't know accounts. There are no accounts on Bitcoin. It's just the individual checks. And then if you want to spend, you want to write a check to somebody else, you have to reference which check you are paying from. So it's just from one check to the next check. So if you send me a check for $50, somebody else sends me a check for $100, somebody else sends me a check for $1,000, and a fourth person sends me a check for $850. Now, my account, quote unquote, my software is telling me you have $2,000. But what I really have are four different checks of various amounts. And so in order to write a valid check to you for $2,000, I have to stick all four of the previous ones and sign them to prove that I'm the one that had the signature. I prove my signature with another block of data. I sign them to prove that I can unlock them. And I have to stick every single, all four of them into it, because I need all four of them in order to make up $2,000 worth of a check. And then when you get it, whenever you spend any amount, you have to reference that $2,000 check that I gave you. That is literally how everything on Bitcoin works. And then in the signature, you can put a bunch of special instructions. If you want to do something like multi-sig or a time lock or CTV, you know, how is this going to be spent? Which obviously CTV isn't here yet, but I'm going to presume that CTV will be in Bitcoin, because I think it is the most sensible, secure path to basically solving a lot of this in a service-based way with as much trust minimization as possible. If anybody is interested in digging more into this, so CTV, very simply, is the ability to have a single check, so to speak, in our analogy, single transaction, where the only way to spend it actually not only includes your signature, that you have a key, but also a set of transaction details that you must use as part of that signature, in the sense that, as part of a verifying tool, such that that's the only thing that you can actually do with it. You have to give it the transaction that it would be sending it from. So that's a convoluted way of saying that many, many different people can own a single UTXO. One address with one balance could actually already have a pre-signed commitment, basically an irrevocable proof that it's going to go to. One Bitcoin will go to me, one Bitcoin will go to you, one Bitcoin will go to Tom, and one Bitcoin will go to Nancy. But this isn't visible anywhere. It's simply that it's hidden within the key, within the lock that the transaction has, that even though it's just four Bitcoin in one address, and obviously it's only taking up that much space on the Bitcoin chain, it is actually owned in four different pieces by each of us. But the really cool idea is that you could actually have two different paths where we could each individually redeem our one Bitcoin, or we worked as a pool or with some sort of a coordinator that updated this periodically so people could make changes in and out, and we could do it all within a single transaction, again, with just this large batch of CTV. So anybody who didn't want to spend or use theirs didn't have to, and it could just be migrated from one address of four Bitcoin And then, you know, somebody else comes in or multiple people do transactions and then it gets updated and now it's 4.5 Bitcoin or something. And there's 10 people or 20 people in this whole mix, but they're all sharing this one address and this one balance of Bitcoin. It's just kind of ongoing being updated to change all of the sub ownerships without actually broadcasting all of those sub ownerships, because everybody's essentially working together to sign the new state. So as the episode, we did the article we did with Ben the Carman, the episode Rethinking Lightning, and talking about how this is the idea of scaling the ownership of Bitcoin, whereas Lightning scales the payments of Bitcoin. Lightning doesn't allow more people to join the Bitcoin system, as in more people can own UTXOs or we can have more people who receive Bitcoin on chain. Lightning doesn't change that at all. Lightning allows you to do many, many payments while only owning one or two UTXOs, because they can be opened as channels and you can scale payments. So like I've only done like 2 to 3 on-chain transactions this whole month, but I've done hundreds and hundreds of Lightning transactions, Lightning payments, because those on-chain transactions are literally just movements into and out of Lightning channels. So where Lightning enables you to pool a bunch of payments that you are going to make to, you know, various people and into this network, something like CTV would allow you to pool ownership of many different people into a single UTXO. And what's funny, or what's really cool, is that the CTV payouts, quote unquote, the you own one Bitcoin, I own one Bitcoin, whatever, of the 4 Bitcoin balance, those don't have to be just, you know, static balances. They can actually be Lightning channels. So we can hold Lightning channels that actually never exist on chain, but that if we ever needed to enforce, would necessarily have to go on chain. There's still no way. You can basically treat it like a already confirmed Lightning channel, even though the Lightning channel is completely ephemeral. Because if you choose to enforce it, there is nothing anyone can do. It has to go there, and then the enforcement has to happen. So that's really powerful. That means that you can onboard thousands of users through like an LSP, through some sort of a service provider, in an entirely trust minimized way onto Lightning with Lightning channels. You could batch any alterations to balances in all of these channels at the exact same time with a single UTXO to another single UTXO transaction, which means that if you could do it for $20 for a transaction, literally if you had 100 people in it, every single person just pays 20 cent worth of that transaction fee, and they do it spread out over all of the transactions that they do while using this from day to day as a main driver, main financial and monetary account or system. So if 20,000 payments are made between these updates, every single one of them would have a roughly market minimum fee of like 0.1 pennies. These sorts of systems have to be built out, because we have to figure out how to deal with low value stuff. Cannot sustain itself on chain. It will be dust. If you have a bunch of different UTXOs, if you are DCAing and you have not consolidated, you haven't even thought about this, now is the time to do it. Right now. Right now. It's about to get crazy. We're coming up into a halving. We just broke 50K. The ETFs are basically a month old at this point, and Bitcoin has been on a bit of a tear recently, and normie lands, like the average person, isn't here yet. There's not even any buzz about it right now. I don't even have like my non-Bitcoin friends asking me about it. This isn't in the news, but it's going to be. It's going to be very quickly. And when that happens, things get crazy, and they stay crazy for a really long time. You do not want to be stuck for a year and a half before it seems like we have time to breathe again. Fees are pretty damn low right now. Take advantage of it. Take a look at your coins. Open up your wallet. It's good if you haven't dusted that sucker off in a while. You've just been doing like hard cold storage and you don't use Bitcoin like me every single day. Take a look at things. See what kind of UTXOs you have. See what wallets you have. Break out that cold card, check your seed, make sure you still got your backup. Now is a great time. Do it right now. Get off your ass. It only takes a couple of minutes. It's not as painful as you think. And you're going to feel you're going to have that shit weighing on your shoulders. You're going to feel it. You're going to feel it every day. It's like, oh man, I should do this. Oh man, I should do this. Oh man, I should do this. But you realize it's only going to take you like 5 or 10 minutes. And you're probably even going to have fun because Bitcoin is fucking cool. It's great to do this stuff. I'm a nerd. I love this shit. I love breaking out my hardware wallet and like looking at all my stuff and playing around and signing a transaction and tapping it to my phone. You're going to enjoy yourself. And then afterward, you're going to be like, oh, hot damn. I didn't have to deal with 2 weeks worth of procrastistress because I took care of this when God told me to. That is it. That's the whole point of this show. Do not let your Bitcoin become dust, especially because you are a diligent stacker. Also, you should just be using Lightning for small amounts. All right. We'll close that out here. I hope you guys learned a little bit of something with this one, and I hope you guys prepare and take care of your shiz. And don't forget when you are moving it, when you're finally moving it to your hardware wallet, because you should have done and you're using like a mobile wallet or a web wallet or just a normal desktop wallet without your hardware, you got to break out that cold card. This is also something you need to do. You just need to get it into your cold storage. Get some big fat UTXOs, consolidate all those small transactions, and get the big chunk of your savings off the internet, off your mobile phone, whatever, into cold storage. And then you can sleep easy and just enjoy this next 6 months to a year of what I highly suspect is going to be quite a bit of insanity. So with that, thank you to CoinKite. Thank you to Swan for supporting this show. Thank you to all you guys for sharing this out and leaving me reviews on the Apple App Store or the podcast store, whatever the hell their thing is called. Google Play, Fountain. Shout out to all my Fountain peeps. I love Fountain. It's been a really great platform, and I'm constantly amazed. I really, really love their new UI. The new flow of that app is just phenomenal. And you know what? On that note, that's what we're going to do right now. I'm gonna check out some... Holy crap. This was a perfect opportunity to check this out. Wow, Garth. Garth boosted 20,000 sats. Love the rant and great read. Hell yeah, man. Thank you, dude. Read 800, mining misinformation. Yeah, that one, Jesus. I don't even know what happened at the end of that episode. That was ridiculous. Chaka, 400 sats. Babuya, read 799. Noster Wallet Connect. DW Duck, 100 sats, read 797. The next big thing will look like a toy. I really love that piece. That was a good one. Michael Matliff, what's up, boy? 2,100 sats. Guys take 80, but Bitcoin wastes energy. Bitcoin mining fixes energy systems. Love it. That's a great way to put it. 400 sats from Chaka. Read 795. Thank you. User 64891291 boosted 1,000 sats. Tim boosted 500. Chaka boosted 400. Chaka's just like throwing sats around. Letter 6173. Boost. Oh, snap. 10,000 sats. People owe you so much more than this for all the years of bullish content. Thank you. Appreciate that, man. And Cortelang boosted 1,000 sats. Nice episode. Shor's algorithm about the quantum computing episode we did recently. Shor's algorithm is the one that breaks modern cryptography. Okay, cool. Both RSA and elliptic curve cryptography are based on finite groups. These have multiplication actions, which give a period, which Shor's algorithm can... I said Grover's algorithm. That's right. I said Grover's during the episode. Thank you. Shor's algorithm can find and then return your private key from your public key. On the skeptic side, I think Mikhail Dyakonov? I don't know. Mikhail Dyakonov has some good arguments in this article. You know what? I will link that article in the show notes for this episode if anyone wants to dive a little bit deeper into the quantum computer thing. And BTC Mama drops 337 sats on that episode as well. Thank you. Much appreciated. Michael Matliff boosted 2,100 sats again on Stranded, Alex Gladstein's great piece. I was read 796. Rowdy, what is up? 2,100 sats. I don't think I understood the concept of atomic network size until Guy used the illustration of Zoom's atomic network of two. Cool. That's good. Yeah, it's a it's a bit of a confusing topic if you don't have like a solid like example of why something is an atomic network. And Zoom's example, just for anybody who didn't listen to that episode, that's read 797, the next big thing will look like a toy. But the idea of the atomic network is about what size of network do you need for it to exist entirely on its own. And the reason Zoom's atomic network is two people is because it's only a direct mode of communication. So if you use Zoom and I use Zoom and we meet all the time, every time we have a conversation, we can always just use Zoom. We can always go back to Zoom. We don't need like engagement on Zoom in order to keep coming back to it like you would need for something like social media. The atomic network for social media is vastly, vastly larger because you need to be able to go get good content when you go over there. You go there to browse, to explore. People aren't posting stuff, it dies. But yeah, not to rehash that entire episode, but just to hit that idea. And I just want to read this last boost on Fountain, because I love this one. So this is Gilby Coyote, boosted 1,000 sats. Ba-boom, thank you. Great stuff. I knew I'd love this guy's take. This is guy's take 80, by the way, but Bitcoin Waste Energy. I knew I'd love this guy's take from the moment I finished the Stranded read. This also got me interested in replacing the electric heaters by S9s in the cabins at the Christmas market end of the year. That is awesome. That is awesome. And I would love to see details on that if you do it. That's actually a really cool idea. I'm telling you, old miners as heaters is such a fun... There's something cool. I remember when I first turned on the heaters down... The heaters. When I first turned on my miners down here when I was heating the basement, because the basement had been... cold, it fluctuates a lot. Like, it's just hard to control the temperature down here because like I've still got vents that are open to the outside. Like this isn't even like insulated. It's just cinder block with vents like a crawl space would have. But when I would come down here in the mornings because the miners have been run on low all night, and it's just like a nice 76 degrees, 78 degrees sometimes. Sometimes it was like a little bit too warm, but I could just open up the door and it's like really good. I get to enjoy it. There's something really cool about that, to know that keeping my house warm is paying me sats. And best of all, it's KYC free sats. It's uncompromised. I don't have to worry about like my identity being stolen for that. I don't have to worry that somebody's keeping a database of guy owns exactly these addresses with these coins. There's something that just feels really good about mining your own Bitcoin. So anyway, thank you guys. Thank you guys so much for the support. For the boosts and the sats, like literally it goes a long way. Like I can't believe how many, like when my basement flooded actually a couple of weeks, or I guess it's like month and 2 months ago now, I don't know, it's been a good little bit, but you guys sent like a ton of sats in and boosted, and I think it paid for almost, it was like two-thirds, more than half of the stuff that I really just had to replace, maybe even more than that. I don't know. It was a lot of sats, and I really appreciate it. You guys have been amazing and I appreciate every sat, literally 100 sats. Like that's awesome. And I love to see that people are using Lightning, that people are using the Fountain app. And I boost or I zap out people, Noster, 1,000 sats all the time when I feel like they got good stuff. And it just feels like, I'm watching this circular economy grow. I'm watching the Bitcoin ecosystem grow and Bitcoin become a medium of exchange. And all of this is maturing. And it's just fucking cool to be here. So buckle up, subscribe, and I'll catch you on the next one. Until then, everybody, take it easy, guys. The reason most people fail instead of succeed is that they trade what they want most for what they want at the moment. Napoleon Bonaparte.